Boston fans, this is what you've been waiting for.
Thomas, in the paint, tries to spin it up and down.
It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
Into Crowder, takes it. Got it! 8 tenths of a second to go!
So what are you waiting for? Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll-free, 347-215-7771.
Put out for you! Marcus Smart at the buzzer!
Yes, yes, yes! Celtics fans, where are you at? Impressive victory as the Washington Wizards get shamrocked by the Boston Celtics this evening. Impressive, impressive win by the Celtics, 118-98. This is exactly what you expect from a team that plays hard under Brad Stevens. I'm your host, Cal Lee, and with me, my man Warren Shaw. We are the brothers that roll with the Baseline NBA podcast. We're back better than ever. My man Shaw, where you at, my brother?
Man, that was a great game to watch. I'm right here with you as always. As we do it on the Baseline, we bring our talents back to see on this radio for this post-game show, wrapping up the Celtics and the Washington Wizards. And what was a blowout affair, brother, man. So, you know, let's get right into the talking, man. This was a great game. Great for the Celtics to get off that three-game losing streak and finally get back in the winning column.
Definitely, definitely. CLNS Radio's post-game show, the Boston Celtics defeating the Washington Wizards this evening, powered by Harry's Razors. Be sure to go to Harry's Razors, get a free trial, and use the promo code Celtics. As we kick off this post-game show, and we've got a lot to discuss, man. An impressive victory by the Boston Celtics tonight. Wire to wire, this was all Celtics basketball against a, listen, everyone talked about how this Washington Wizards team is a top four team in the Eastern Conference. And if these guys are in the right frame of mind, you know, people say that they really should be the ones that could possibly make a run next to the Miami Heat against the Cleveland Cavaliers. You know, this is a playoff-laden type of team, and yes, the season is somewhat early, but I don't think anyone anticipated the Boston Celtics to be up as many as 30 points against this Washington Wizards team.
No, absolutely not. They came out and shellacked this team and shamrocked them, as you said, you know, in the outset there, and really just kind of led. Not necessarily wire-to-wire because Washington did had an early lead in the first quarter, but it was seemed to be after Wall got in foul trouble, he got two fouls quick in midway through the first quarter. That's when the Celtics really kind of took control of that quarter. And then what ended up being the game, great inspired play from Jared Sullinger inserted into that starting lineup, second game of the year that he's had a chance to start. And he really was one of the catalysts, along with Isaiah Thomas, that got the Celtics off to the great start that they did, scoring 40 points in the first quarter. I think Gorman on the telecast had mentioned that the Celtics were, I think, the worst team scoring in the first quarter in the entire NBA at like 19.5 or something like that. Then to go out basically and double that in this very important game and against one of the top-notch opponents in the Eastern Conference.
Oh, definitely. And let's keep in mind, too, that the Celtics are coming off of two, you know, excruciatingly hard losses. One against, you know, a formidable team that is always in the conversations of championship basketball with the San Antonio Spurs. I mean, and this was the kind of win that I think the Celtics crowd needed, and I think the Celtics themselves needed. And to come out of the gate, I mean, clearly the Washington Wizards were in that game early in the first half of the first quarter, and then the Celtics went on that impressive one after going up 21-16, and the Wizards calling in that timeout, and it was just on from there. The Celtics dropping 40 points in that first quarter really set the tone for what was really great, consistent, offensively flowing basketball executed to perfection by Brad Stevens and company, and the result is the Boston Celtics with an impressive win over the Washington Wizards. We want to hear from you, Celtics fans. We got a lot of stuff to get into. Jared Sullinger doing his thing. Kelly Olynyk going nuts against the Washington Wizards front court. So be sure to give us a call here, 347-215-7771. We want to hear from you. We want to know what your take was about this Celtics performance tonight. Do you feel good after two straight losses? Are you feeling good about this Celtics team kind of feeling out that beginning part of that season, getting themselves in the right mindset, and coming out with a strong performance, making sure that they own home court like they did in the second half of last season, And Shaw, you know, what was interesting is that's what a lot of the media writers were tweeting, was that now this looks like the Celtics team of the second half of last season. We hadn't seen that for the first four games that were being played so far this season by the Celtics.
Yeah, they were very aggressive throughout the night. And they pushed the pace. You know, they were one of the league leaders, even in pace, even, you know, with a 1-3 record. I think they were six coming into the game. But they really gave Washington all they could handle when it came to, you know, getting a rebound and pushing the ball up the floor. They had a ton of turnovers from Washington. I think the Wizards turned the ball over 24 times total. And the Celtics definitely turned those points turned those turnovers into points for them. And that pace just really seemed to, you know, really stalwart, if you will, Washington's offense and defense as Boston continued to just run it up and down the floor, playing the passing lanes defensively. And for me, that's really where you saw the biggest difference, I think, in anything that they've been able to do. Yes, offense was amazing, but the offense was definitely keyed by the defense and the fact that they were very aggressive and then made the right passes and the right decisions. I think a lot of times, even with certain players on this roster, you see them, they pass the ball, then they kind of hesitate and look and things like that. The ball just kept moving. It was snapping. And then everyone, like I said, they made crisp and sound decisions with the basketball and the shot. And they just took good shots, made good shots. And, I mean, yeah, they were a little hot, no doubt about it. But I think it all had to start with the ball moving and predicated from the defense.
What was your take, Shaw, when you were watching the first few minutes of the game when the Washington Wizards was essentially trading basket for basket with the Celtics, and you were just waiting to see who from that backcourt from the Washington Wizards was set to explode, whether it be in John Wall or Bradley Beal? I mean, John Wall got off to a pretty decent start, and I felt like the tone was probably going to be set very early that the backcourt of the Celtics, be it Bradley, be it Thomas, even Smart, whoever it was that was going to be in that backcourt was going to probably be more fixated on slowing down John Wall and Bradley Beal rather than asserting their offensive game against those guys and forcing them to step up and play better defense.
Well, one of the keys to the game, I think it was an early timeout for Brad Stevens. You know, I don't have the play-by-play in front of me, but I want to say it was like maybe 6-2. Washington was leading, and basically Boston had gotten beaten twice on kind of rim runs by Beal. And Beal got easy layups as Bradley wasn't able to kind of stay with him off of some early Celtics misses. And he called a timeout immediately. And really, right after that timeout, you saw Boston's play really increase and start to play and just be better from a defensive standpoint. And that's how from there, I mean, I don't think they slowed Beal down. Beal still had a very, very good game. And I said Wall was in early foul trouble overall, and he still finished, I think, with 13-8. And Beal finished with 24. But That timeout in the first quarter, and it was a real minor thing. You really had to be watching the game. 6-2, I believe it was. Stevens calling that timeout got into his guys, you know, especially to get back defensively, and that really changed the pace and the overall mindset for the Celtics for the rest of the game.
This episode is brought to you by Lynda.com, the online learning platform with over 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. For a free trial, visit lynda.com/CLNS. That's LYNDA.com/CLNS. Listen, Shaw, one of the things that we've said about this Celtics team is if they believe in the fact that they can do what they need to do on the basketball court, that their talent can actually match up pretty well with some of the other teams that are out there right now. I'm not saying that they're going to ascend themselves to the levels of the discussions when we talk about a Steph Curry or when we talk about a James Harden. But I do think collectively as a team, they can apply pressure against teams that are still trying to find themselves, like a Washington Wizards team. This is a team, Shaw, that they basically hired Paul Pierce to figure out a way to get these guys to take their game up a level. Paul Pierce only stayed 1 year, and then he just jetted over to Los Angeles, who he thinks might be the closest thing to getting him another ring. And when you look at this Washington Wizards team, it just still felt like, even while Bradley Beal had an impressive game, and at the end of the day, John Wall had a pretty nice game, just felt like they're still searching for that guy. They're looking for that guy that's going to, when this team suffers the kind of run that they suffered against in that first quarter, that they needed a spark and someone who's just going to basically put this team on their back and say, I'm going to carry you guys to get us back to even before halftime. And we almost kind of saw that a little bit. But again, give credit to the Celtics. They staved off a couple of runs by this Washington Wizards team. You knew it was going to happen. But ultimately, they kind of deferred the idea that they weren't going to let one person beat them, that it was going to take a collective team effort. And I think the Washington Wizards were trying to figure out who that dude was going to be all night long.
Yeah, the Wizards struggled, like I said, early in the first quarter when Wall went out. And then he ended up having eight turnovers in the game, you know, comparatively. Again, Boston really seemed to have a lot of the Washington sets scouted. There was a lot of deflections by Jay Crowder. Jonas Derebko played great. Kelly Olynyk played great defensively as well as offensively this evening. And Jared Sullinger as well. I mean, a couple of people diving on the ground for some loose balls. You know, it just seemed like a great overall defensive effort from Boston. And again, just seemed to be really well scouted for what the Washington Wizards wanted to do. And there might be, I mean, it happens in the NBA, and teams don't ever like to admit it, but Wizards are on the first of a back-to-back. I think they go and play Atlanta tomorrow. And they might have been overlooking Boston because, you know, the Celtics were struggling coming into this game and hadn't really been playing great basketball. And might have thought, you know, this might be a team that we could not necessarily coast against, but we don't necessarily have to give our all. And the Celtics' effort was just A-plus tonight, and especially, you know, after that timeout by Brad Stevens early on, it just seemed to really turn things around for them. And, you know, to your point with Washington, Beal is playing great basketball right now. He's upset that he hasn't gotten his contract, you know, in lieu of the Wizards trying to make room and make a run at Kevin Durant in the summer. And he's going to make sure that they pay every single dollar. And he's been that guy for them, you know, scoring the basketball. And Wall's been the guy that needs to set things up for them. They do like another true playmaker on that team. I think Ramon Sessions is solid, but not, you know, a great playmaker at this stage of his career anymore. But other than that, you know, the Wizards are still going to be a very formidable team, and I think the Celtics can definitely, you know, hang their hat on this one, you know, that they got a good win.
We'll be taking your calls in about 2 minutes on the FanDuel toll-free call lines. The toll-free number is, and of course, where do you find a toll-free number? It's an 800 number. We don't know what it is. We want you to give us a call here, 347-215-7771. CLNS Radio call lines powered by FanDuel. FanDuel is the leader in one-week fantasy football with more wins and payouts. They are paying out over $75 million a week this football season. You know you love the salary cap format. Pick any of the players you want for just 1 week. Entry fees just start at $1. Anyone can play. Go to FanDuel.com and use the CLNS promo code Celtics for free play. Isn't it kind of strange, Shaw? I mean, that's what it's like. You think you would use Patriots, but we have to use Celtics. It's very rightly slow because the Celtics look like the Patriots today against the Washington Wizards, defeating them in grand fashion, 118-98. We're going to go ahead and take our first caller in here. My man's been waiting here for a few moments, and the only reason why I know he's waiting this long is because he is absolutely amped to talk about an impressive performance by the Boston Celtics tonight. Welcome to the CLNS post-game show, caller. How do you feel about tonight's game, man?
Yo, I'm freaking psyched, bro. No, I'm kidding. It's great to see them win, though. I mean, this isn't the Philadelphia 76ers. This is a quality team that just put up 102 on the Spurs earlier in the season, went into Milwaukee, put up 118 on the supposedly up-and-coming new and improved Bucks. Quality team, like you said earlier, top four team in the East. It's still early, obviously, to, you know, be naming top fours and top this and that. But, you know, this isn't the Sixers. This is a quality win, and we, you know, didn't just come out and, you know, play them tough, but we ran them out the gym. So, yeah, definitely psyched. I mean, it's still early. I think teams are still trying to figure things out. The Wizards have adjustments they have to make. You know, they have added a couple new players. They obviously lost some key veteran leadership. You know, I think we all agree Paul Pierce, who you just spoke about, you know, had to adjust to, you know, not having him on the court. But, I mean, still, and we're still adjusting as well. But awesome win. And I think this proves, and I think the adjustments that Brad Stevens made in the past few games, partially as a result of injury and not really, you know, his own innovation, but, you know, more just injury, really, you know, and you could see it turning around. The Pacers game, we were so close to getting over the edge, getting over the hump, and I think that we finally did it this game. And this game really shows the power of getting out to a quick start and not wasting time, you know, with this ridiculous 6 minutes of Tyler Zeller so he can throw, you know, 3-foot air ball jump hooks and then put him on the bench for the rest of the game. No, you put in the players, and having Isaiah Thomas sit on the bench for, you know, the half the first quarter so then he can come in off the bench and be the sixth man for some odd reason. No, you put in the best players that you have on the team in your starting lineup. You don't come out with this, you know, this hardcore defensive lineup that that Brad Stevens started with in the beginning of the season with Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart, Jay Crowder, who are all, you know, primarily defensive players, I think, at the moment, or primarily known for defense. No, you put in Isaiah Thomas, you put in Jared Sullinger, and you get these guys rolling right out the bat. And then you, instead of trying to, you know, slow the other team down and, you know, then maybe build a lead later on, you come out running right out the gate, you put up the points, and you know what I'm saying? Then you put in the defense later to hold them off. And if you look at Isaiah Thomas, he's averaging career highs in points going into the game. I think it was 23.5 points, career highs in assists, 6.5 assists per game, career high in steals. I mean, almost in full steal, higher than what he's averaged previously in his career. And now that he's starting, especially this game, Isaiah Thomas, 12 points in the first quarter, 65% field goal shooting for the team in the first quarter, and 40 points, the highest single quarter output, the single highest point output in a quarter for the Celtics this season. Stop wasting time with this ridiculous Tyler Zeller nonsense and having non-ball handlers in the backcourt like Avery Bradley and Marcus Smart. No, have scorers. Isaiah Thomas, who can score and who can cause defenses to collapse when he penetrates, kick out the ball, or who can get to the free throw line easily. And Jared Sullinger, boy, I don't care what anyone has to say about Jared Sullinger. You can complain about his weight all you want. That man goes out there and he hustles and he earns his minutes. He earns his points. You look at Jared Sullinger's stat line. He just filled up the stat sheet. 21 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. I mean, why wasn't he starting from the beginning? This dude has something to prove, and I think if you followed his Twitter account, if you followed some of the things, he was actually interactive with fans over the off season, fans who were criticizing him on social media over his weight, and he was actually interactive with them, telling them to wait and see what it was that he was going to do when he got on the court. And I know we saw pictures in the, you know, before the season started where he kind of looked like, you know, small forward Sully and not power forward Sully, and then he gets out on the court and he's, you know, this giant monster, looks like, you know, a combination of, you know, Oliver Miller meets Anthony Mason, you know what I mean? And still, I mean, his fundamentals, his spacing, he's just one of those guys, the ball gets into his hands, and that's what we need. And when he gets the ball, he doesn't waste time with it. It goes where he wants it to go. He's not dancing around. He's not like Brandon Bass used to do, trying to dribble 5,000 times and then lose it somewhere. He gets the ball, and he goes right up with it, and it usually goes, you know, off the glass and into the hoop if he's down, you know, in the post. I mean, the addition of Isaiah Thomas, the insertion of Isaiah Thomas and Sully into the starting lineup, fantastic. And then on top of that, I think Evan Turner is extremely underrated. And I think we saw tonight when Evan Turner is on, Evan Turner helps the offense flow. Some people like to say he's a ball stopper, a ball pounder, but, I mean, look at his, you know, stats in 30 minutes, not great, but 16 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, very few turnovers. 7 for 12 from the field and 2 for 4 from 3. When does Evan Turner ever hit 2 3-pointers in a row? I mean, he must have had, you know, somebody smiling on him from the heavens or something, because he never hits two 3-pointers in a row. It makes me think almost to put Evan Turner maybe at the small forward spot, and just an idea, move Jay Crowder to the power forward spot, because if you look at Jay Crowder's numbers, he looks more like that stretch power forward. He's not as big as a power forward should be. He's undersized, but so are pretty much most of our power forwards. And he's not really somebody that's going to take you off the dribble. He doesn't have handles like that he's going to isolate you, hit you in the ISO game. But he can be set up, and he does have the speed advantage on slower, you know, power forwards. I think he might be the stretch power forward, put Sully at the 5 or Sully at the other big, and then just have that be the lineup. Isaiah Thomas at the 1, either Avery Bradley or Marcus Smart. I would go with Marcus Smart for the size at the 2, Evan Turner at the 3, Jay Crowder at the 4, Sully at the 5, and you have, you know, a quality mix of both, you know, experience, scoring, and defense. Just my opinion, but I think you saw that. Those three players today, I think, were the key. Turner, Thomas, and Sully. And then, of course, Kelly Olynyk came out of hibernation, which is nice to see for once.
Nice. Awesome, awesome stuff, man. Appreciate that call, Shaw. A lot of really good points and really some interesting things that were coming in my head that he brought up with reference to Jared Sellinger. Now, let's not take anything away from what Jared Sellinger did tonight. Like he read off on the stat sheet tonight, 21 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. And it sounded like he's really high on Jared Sellinger. I think he truly believes that Jared Sellinger is a mainstay for the Boston Celtics. And let me ask you this question, Shaw, because we've talked about this. We've seen the potential in Jared Sellinger, but we've always kept talking about how we just don't know whether or not his mentality about the game of basketball is truly ingrained in being as good as his game dictates. And tonight, we see that when he actually takes it upon himself to take the game seriously, he can literally do almost anything that he wants to do on the basketball court, right? So why is it that we just don't get this on a consistent basis? Because it wasn't like Jared Sellinger didn't have opportunities last season to make up Brad Stevens' mind about where he fits in this Celtics scheme of things for the future. Why is it so difficult that we can't get this on a consistent basis from Jared Sellinger?
I mean, that is the question. We don't know why he's inconsistent. It's just one of those things where a lot of people say, you're right. He doesn't take the game or hadn't taken the game as seriously. He doesn't work as hard, you know, to make sure he's in shape and keep his body right. But, you know, he does look better this year. I think he does have something to prove, much like the case of Beal, you know, obviously not the exact same situation. But he didn't get his contract, you know, extended. So now he's playing for a contract next summer, and he has to prove himself. Same thing with Kelly Olynyk. It's just a situation. Oh, sorry, Olynyk was re-signed. But Sellinger is in a situation where he has to. It was Sellinger and Zeller who didn't get re-signed and get their contract extended. But Sully is in a situation where he wants to prove himself to the NBA and even, you know, maybe convince himself that he is a player that everyone wanted him to be coming out of Ohio State. But it goes to show you, it might not just have been, you know, the injuries why he slipped initially in the draft. It might have been some stuff, you know, with his ability to stay motivated. And right now, I think, you know, coming into the season, Brad Stevens didn't award him the starting position like how he did last year. You know, you brought in a veteran like David Lee, and he was getting minutes early on, and Tyler Zeller was starting in the 4 and 5 positions. And Sellinger looked like he might have been the odd man out, but he's played well. He's kept a good attitude, hasn't pouted about anything, especially, you know, when he didn't play some of the games in preseason, even early on to begin this season, got some spot minutes, stayed positive and stayed with it. And then you saw a great effort from him this evening, played well the other night in Indiana as well. But this was definitely one of the better games we've seen from Sellinger from just an overall efficiency standpoint, a hustle standpoint, and just understanding what he needed to do to help the Celtics win.
Cal Lee, Warren Shaw here with you with the CLNS post-game show as the Boston Celtics shellack the Washington Wizards at the TD Garden, 118-98. An impressive performance by the Boston Celtics offensively and defensively. Jared Sellinger leading away for the Boston Celtics with an impressive stat line. And listen, our caller brought up an excellent point about Evan Turner. You know me, Shaw. You know, and it's kind of interesting. It's great that we brought up Jared Sellinger so that we can segue ourselves into Evan Turner. Now, I know there's a ton of Evan Turner haters out there. I get that, okay? I understand that. But I keep harping on this, and I'm going to keep harping on it until it actually is ingrained in people who cannot appreciate when you have a player like an Evan Turner on your team. Yes, there are going to be moments where Evan Turner can look like he could look like an absolute travesty to you. His plus minus might actually look like something that reflects like you flunked out of your sophomore and your junior year, and you're expected, you know, to still graduate, you know, out of high school. I get all of that, right? But when he is on, you see a plus minus of plus 26 tonight from Evan Turner, and I don't care who you are, but Evan Turner has helped this Boston Celtics team. Now, maybe people get this crazy notion that Evan Turner needs to be, you know, put in the same spotlight as we talked about him being what he was as a Philadelphia 76er. But we just talked about the same thing with Jared Sellinger, where it basically took a tough-minded coach to put a guy like Evan Turner in the position to say, here are your options. You can either make it on this team or good luck finding yourself anywhere in the NBA. And Evan Turner realizes his place with this Boston Celtics team, and he comes out and he performs. And now he is one of your more popular Boston Celtics players. Maybe not to the level or degree of the Boston Celtics purists, because people never cared for him when he came out of Ohio State. But I've been saying, if he's in the right system, he will produce. And tonight, that's exactly what he did for us in helping us defeat the Washington Wizards.
Yeah, he seems to have the trust of Brad Stevens one way or the other. And he seems to be a guy who is never going to be in danger of falling out of the rotation. I think I tweeted out today, I think he was awarded Mr. Average by in a poll by the general manager of the NBA. And it wasn't a knock on him. It's just that Evan Turner seemed to meet the average height, average weight, average skill, if you will, of every NBA player in the league, which I thought was kind of a neat stat or neat thing for him to kind of garner, if you will. And then he comes out and plays so well tonight. When he's efficient, taking his shot, especially in that mid-range, it makes things so much easier. And he has a very high basketball IQ, greatest ball distributor, but he knows what to do with the ball in terms of passing it and getting guys into the right spots. But he does over dribble sometimes. We can't say that he doesn't. But again, like I said, when he's taking his shots and getting efficient, that gives him the confidence then to go out there and maybe knock down a couple of threes as well after he's seen a couple of shots go down. I like what he's been able to do for this Boston Celtics team since coming over here. And again, I do agree, he has been a little bit underrated. And another guy who just seems to be, listen, you know what, he's going to play whatever role that's needed. As long as he gets his minutes, I don't think you're going to hear him, you know, fuss too much. And I think he does have the trust, like I said, of Brad Stevens, because he gives the team another quote-unquote playmaker, but another guy who can score, especially from the mid-range area. And again, like I said, a guy who has a high basketball IQ when it comes to getting some of his teammates involved.
Shaw, I'm going to ask you this question. You know, I'm putting you on the spot tonight because we don't get to do this often where you and I get to talk some Celtics basketball, right, on the airwaves. But I want to ask you this question. Given what Evan Turner has done in the last year and a half, do you think, like, if you had to put a side-by-side comparison, who do you think really has taken advantage of, quote-unquote, that hoop redemption, so to speak, in Celtic uniform? Jeff Green or Evan Turner?
It would have to be Turner. I mean, as evidenced in by still being in the green uniform, Celtics, ownership, players, fans, all got a little frustrated with Jeff Green and his inconsistency over the years. Evan Turner knows who he is. He pretty much goes out there and you know, puts up the same type of stats, you know, based on whatever minutes he's given, you know, on a given night. And it's been really, really good for them since coming on. A lot of people may have forgotten already that he was a Celtics point guard last year after Rondo was moved. He played point guard for like 30, 40 games until Isaiah Thomas, you know, was acquired at the All-Star break, and Marcus Smart really kind of came back and was able to overcome his early injury as well. Turner, again, he's very versatile, can play positions 1-3 pretty easily. And again, whether he's starting or coming off the bench, you just kind of know what you're going to get from him. I don't necessarily know if he needs to be in the starting lineup in this unit, simply from the defensive standpoint. Sometimes he's, you know, gets a little aloof on that and isn't as quick-footed as you may like, and as some of the other guards on this team and roster already. But no matter what it is, he's going to get his minutes. He's going to play well as long as he's, you know, making the smart decisions and continuing to play efficiently.
All right, man. Keep in mind, the phone lines are open. Be sure to call in. The FanDuel call lines are open. If you love FanDuel as much as we do, you make sure you hit us up on Twitter, mention your handle, let them know. Go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, use the code Celtics, and sign up. Special free offers for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it up with $200. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offer is only good for the first 50 people that uses the code Celtics today. So don't forget to use the code Celtics on FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. FanDuel.com, FANDUEL.com. Sign up today. Come on now. Fantasy basketball, fantasy football, it's all live. It's all good here. And I hope tonight you put in a couple of Celtics players, you might have won you some money. That's all I got to say about that. Impressive performance tonight by the Boston Celtics. And Shaw, you know, we talk about this team, and I believe that we got our man Jared probably calling in a few moments to help us talk about what should be an exciting locker room. and really giving us a good feel about how this Celtics team came out and performed tonight. So let's see if we can let's see if this is our man Jared here. Hold on one second here. The CLNS Radio Post Game Show, is our man Jared?
No, this is Coach Rich.
Oh, Coach Rich, what's going on, man?
How you doing, buddy?
Hey, man. Listen, I'm good. And my co-host Warren Shaw is really good because we just saw the Boston Celtics, and I use this word, this is going to be probably my terminology whenever we put up beatdowns like this, shamrocked the Washington Wizards tonight, which, listen, maybe some people don't believe that this is a solid basketball team, but I certainly do. This is a good Washington Wizards basketball team. They held it down on their home court, an impressive victory, Coach. Give us your take about what you saw from tonight's performance.
Yeah, you know, it was a pretty solid effort up and down the lineup. I mean, it was balanced scoring. It's nice to see a lot of guys getting into the double digits. And, you know, Sully played terrific. And this was the kind of shot in the arm they need because they've been playing well and just haven't gotten the W's. And, you know, there's going to be some ups and downs with a young team. But, man, to beat a team like this, this caliber team, and just go out and just thrash them was awesome. And so it's an exciting win and a good night to be a Celtics fan for sure.
Coach, well, who were you looking at and you said, wow, now this is the kind of performance that we need from this guy on a night-in, night-out basis. Who was the guy that stood out to you that you were really happy to see kind of get out of the funk and really help this Boston Celtics team get a much-needed win?
Well, I thought Kelly Olynyk looked really good. He looked comfortable from what I saw. I only saw the, you know, the last half. And of course, I looked at the highlights a few times over. But he looked pretty comfortable. He looked like he really fit into the offense. His spacing was excellent. And, of course, Sully was all over the floor. And I don't think, you know, he's playing and he has something to prove. And Isaiah Thomas, I mean, he just continues to for such a little guy, he just gets into great spaces, makes great decisions. I was impressed with the defense early. I thought, you know, they got a little sloppy near the end, but that's always, you know, garbage time that happens. But I just think just up and down the roster, they played steady. Jay Crowder is just – I've become a Jay Crowder booster. I just love the way – I love his game. I know he went out with a bone bruise and looks like he's going to be okay. But, you know, I don't know if you can point to just one guy. If this team wins consistently, I think it's going to be a cast of characters, to be honest.
It's interesting, you know, Coach, how you bring up Jay Crowder's play because, you know, we often talk about where do some of these guys, you know, fit in the grand scheme of things. And I think – you know, no one player is going to single-handedly be able to take the Boston Celtics to levels that we talk about as far as competitiveness goes in this Eastern Conference. I mean, we're seeing the team concept at play. I think it's kind of like a lower tier, you know, when we compare them maybe to, say, like the Atlanta Hawks, who, you know, look, they've come out the gate and look very impressive, and they don't truly have a dominant player on that team. And last year they had 60 wins. We know that if this Celtics team can play to the level that they're capable of playing, they're going to be able to win some significant games here, especially in the Atlantic Division, which is, you know, open for anyone to possibly win with the exception of the Toronto Raptors. But with that being said, you look at this team and you can see what they just did to a Washington Wizards team that ultimately did the same thing to the Toronto Raptors last year in the playoffs. You have to feel pretty good that if these guys really understand what they're capable of doing, and tonight's performance to me kind of makes it indicative of how good that they could possibly be. I mean, wow, you know, we got a lot of good pieces to work with, and we can plug and play certain players to come in and fill in the role nicely when we got to take certain players out.
Yeah, you know, it just gives you like a multidimensional, like almost like a six-headed dragon, that if one group isn't doing what they need to do to be successful, you know, Stevens can just bring in different and have a different look, and that can ultimately be very difficult for teams to defend and to plan against. So yeah, I like that. I like the fact that they become, you know, such a team-oriented approach that they're not going to rely on just one person. And it, you know, I saw a tweet, and I have to say, it's so true that they're up by 20 points, guy gets knocked to the deck, and they're all sprinting to pick somebody up. I mean, that's that shows chemistry, and you know, nothing wins as quick as chemistry does. So, it's just great to watch. And I'm turning a whole new set of Celtics fans on in my classroom here in Western York. Got them all reading about the Celtics and showing them clips of Larry Bird. So we're going to start a new generation of Celtics fans out this way.
when you talk to your class, and I'm glad you brought that up, because when you talk to your kids about, you know, what you're seeing right now from the Boston Celtics, does it remind you a lot like of what some of the, you know, the yesteryear Celtics teams were doing? I understand that, you know, the focal point is of some of the great players, but some of the players actually had made themselves great in the essence of what they, you know, of what they did, of how they played. And I think part of that is what we're kind of seeing now from some of these Celtics players, that if they really buy into the idea of playing hard, playing fundamental, playing sound, that they really can kind of etch their own greatness within not just their own community of the team that they're playing for, but more importantly, just in the NBA community. And I think it's great to see, because, you know, we're caught up in the marketing era of the superstar player, having a superstar on the team. We know at some point the Celtics are going to have something like that if they're going to win championships. But I definitely think as well, too, that some of these guys could really find their greatness from within playing at the level that they're playing. And in games like this, I think helps that just a little bit. Not too much yet. We don't get them too far ahead of the curve, but just a little bit.
I'll give you three names. How about these names from the past? Dave Collins, Paul Silas, Don Nelson. All three of those guys played within a system, and they excelled at what they did. They contributed with what they did, nothing more, nothing less, and hard work, grit, and determination. And, you know, they were members, they were the glue of some championship teams. Yeah, you had to bring in a superstar, you know, have Havlicek, but, you know, that piece isn't there yet. But you got to have those guys that are willing to do the dirty work. I don't want to call it dirty work. Just do all the little things and do all the little things well. And, you know, not worry about that superstar status, because to me that's the ultimate demise of some franchise, that, you know, they get sold. And look at the Knicks. I mean, Carmelo was just eating that franchise alive for how many years. You know, I have a buddy that's a Knicks fan. I have to teach his Knicks fan. I just keep telling him, they got to unload that egg, because he's just killing them. And, you know, even out west, you know, Kobe's a phantom of what he was, and he's just eating that franchise up with money and just being selfish. And, you know, that's certainly not what the Celtics are kind of emblematic of right now. And that's what I talk about with my kids. I am a Celtic. It's not a basketball team. It's a way of life. And I think this team is starting to really live that way of life. It's great to watch.
Great, man. Well, Coach, man, we really appreciate you hopping on and giving us your take. And listen, I'm glad you enjoyed tonight's game. And so do the Celtics faithful, who watched really a great display of offensive and defensive basketball being played, reminiscent of those great Celtics teams against a very good, solid Washington Wizards team that should not be taken lightly, regardless of what their record reflects. They've got great players on this team, and the Celtics took them very seriously from jump, got out to a big lead. Really impressive stuff. Coach, thanks for calling in right now.
Okay, guys, be good. Have a great weekend.
Shaw, man, awesome stuff from our man Coach, you know. And it's interesting, because this is exactly what I think we're wanting to see happen for this Celtics team. I get that everybody has had this premonition about, you know, Danny Ainge jumping into free agency, attracting a marquee player. But I've always been of the mindset, man, that they're just some teams that they are built on the talent that they build up. There are some guys that come in and they can find their greatness from within the Celtics halls and the tradition and the greatness that it builds. And then there's some players, man, from the outset, they come in, they don that Celtic jersey, and they kind of etch their own legacy. And this could be that kind of way with the Celtics team collectively comes together and etches a legacy that I don't think a lot of people are expecting. I mean, a lot of people think that this is still a rebuilding process, and yet even though their record is not going to be completely indicative of it, if they continually get better, they have an opportunity to sneak through and do some things, you know, in a wide open Eastern Conference. I mean, yes, the Cleveland Cavaliers is supposed to be head and shoulders better than the rest of everybody, but we've seen the vulnerability of teams in this 82 regular season run, and then what happens when they get into the playoffs. It's why we talk about the Hawks. It's why we talk about the Wizards. So why can't we talk about the Boston Celtics?
Yeah, well, the one of the most interesting things, you know, I think Coach said, even going back to his call, was it's like, all right, well, Stevens can go and change some things up. But the issue just before this game was that Stevens was playing too many guys. The rotation wasn't tight enough. And he himself said he needed to tighten that up and figure some things out. And, yeah, he had some lineup changes, and Marcus Smart was out, you know, with the toe injury or whatever. But I do think Stevens decided to cut the lineup a little bit, and Tyler Zeller was the odd man out, kind of like he should be. And I'm one of those people. I have nothing against Tyler Zeller. You know, I think he does have value in this, as a player in this league, but I just don't see where he needed to be starting and getting those minutes over some of the younger guys like Sullinger and Olynyk on this roster. And I'm glad Stevens, at least for the time being, has gone that route and decided to, you know what, this is what my rotation is going to be. Everybody played tonight because it was a blowout. But Zeller was out of the rotation. He didn't play until the fourth quarter. And even David Lee, who I thought was going to come and be a big part of this roster, you know, he only saw, I think, 13 minutes this evening. So it really goes, it's a testament to Stevens to understanding that he needed to cut things down a little bit. And, yeah, they have a lot of guys who can play, no superstars on this roster. But the guys that who are going to play, they're all going to be ready whenever their number is called. And they all can contribute in their own ways. And I think Jay Crowder is one of those main guys like that. Amir Johnson is a guy like that. They got great minutes from Jonas Jerebko tonight. I mean, again, not mashing up the stat lines with 6 points and seven rebounds, but those boards were tremendous, especially on the offensive glass. You know, Jerebko did a great job there. And again, like I said, just guys who know what to do. Everybody touched the ball tonight. There were no egos at all. The shots were falling because everybody was setting everybody else up. And again, the thing about it was they were decisive. No matter what was happening, if you're making the pass, you made the pass, you made the pass quickly. If you're shooting it, you shot it quickly, and you didn't wait for the defense to set in or doubles to come at you. So great job overall by this, you know, even-keeled Boston team. But I do find it interesting that, you know, just a game ago it was about rotation, and now finally Stevens has decided to shorten the rotations up a little bit.
Cal Lee, Warren Shaw here at the CLNS post-game show. The Boston Celtics beat the Washington Wizards 118-98. This segment is brought to you by The Garden Report, CLNS on YouTube. Be sure to check out some of the best written, spoken, and watched Boston sports coverage. For the best audio video, turn to CLNS Radio's YouTube channel. Go to www.youtube.com/CLNS Radio. High-definition locker room interviews, full-length locker room interviews, The Garden Report, HD post-game show shot on the parquet floor of the TD Garden, and our man Jared Weiss, who we're hoping that he'll be able to pop on with us to give us a little bit of the feel that's happening right now in the Celtics locker room. But be sure to go and check out The Garden Report. Excuse me. Excellent stuff. These guys are doing their thing, giving you the coverage that you need about your Boston Celtics throughout the regular season and postseason and beyond. Couple of firsts, y'all, and we got to make sure that we do this before, obviously, the show ends. Congratulations to Kelly Oubre from the Washington Wizards scoring his first career pro points in tonight's game, and big up to our Celtic draft pick, Terry Rozier, for scoring his first pro points in tonight's game. What was your take on seeing Mr. Terry Rozier do his thing tonight in some spot minutes during the Celtics blowout?
Yeah, he was solid. You know, I gave them a little bit of a change of pace. Obviously not as quick as Isaiah Thomas is at the point guard position, but still very, very good speed, better speed than most guys out there. And, you know, he was controlled, didn't take too many bad shots, you know, shot 2 of 8. But, I mean, that's to be expected. You know, he's a rook and trying to get his legs under him a little bit. I was happy with what he was able to do. He fit into the offense. There was one point, if I remember correctly, you know, he missed a shot, then Olynyk tapped it back out. And he probably should have kicked it back to Olynyk, who was open in the corner. But he ended up shooting that shot and then ended up making it from about, you know, the free throw line extended or whatever. So some decision-making that obviously still needs to be developed here, but good overall minutes from Rozier. I think he's going to be, you know, a contributing member of the team all year long, especially in whatever minutes he gets. But that might be a little bit few and far between when Marcus Smart comes back.
Yeah, man, look. I always like seeing blowout games because then we start seeing some of the guys that we'll never talk about through the course of most of the season. Guys like, like Hunter, Rozier. You know, you want to see those guys get on the basketball court and get themselves some pro minutes, because we don't want to be talking about them if they're on this roster unless we're talking about them and they're doing some damage out in the D-League. So it's good to see these guys come out there. And to me, Shaw, what that basically says, too, is that the Celtics starters, the Celtics – the bench and you know, the immediate front seven, front eight players put in the work, got it done early, and gave these guys an opportunity. You know that when we're talking about guys like R.J. Hunter, Terry Rozier, and maybe even Jordan McKean or Tyler Zeller, and, you know, if this is what it's going to be as far as rotation goes from Brad Stevens not seeing those minutes for the guys that were seeing minutes before, we want those guys still out there on the basketball court still getting those minutes, because there will come a point, there will be an injury, there will come a point during the regular season where their number is going to have to be called, like you mentioned it before, and they're going to have to step up, and they're going to have to do, you know, next man up and play, you know, play their role and help contribute for a Celtics team that's expected to win basketball games. So I think it's really good when the Celtics are doing things like this, scoring the way that they're scoring, playing the way that they're playing, and ultimately giving each and every single one of their own players, their teammates, an opportunity to get out there and get some quality minutes.
Yeah, I mean, you want everybody to be ready at all times, and especially on a roster like this, you know, it's, and I hate to beat a dead horse with this point here, but it's very even throughout. And yeah, there's, you know, maybe a guy excels here, but then another guy excels there type of thing. But it's very even throughout the entire roster, almost 1 through 15. And, you know, everybody needs to be ready at all times. And in a game like this, everybody gets a chance to get out there and show their stuff a little bit. You know, again, Jordan Mickey is probably going to be a guy who's going to oscillate between the, you know, the red claws, if you will, and the big club. But he's going to, you know, when he's there, he's got to be ready and show that he deserves to stay. And I for one was very impressed with the overall depth from this team tonight. Everybody just seemed to be kind of having that mantra that, you know, everyone was playing all like the puppets on the string, if you will. They just knew what to do. Couple you know, segments of sloppy play, but as even Coach has said earlier in the call, that's to be expected in a game like this. You start to lose focus a little bit, and that stretched down in later in the second quarter. I think they cut the lead to 15 at one point, but, you know, Boston ended up going back and taking it, you know, to right around 20. And then same thing, obviously, in the fourth quarter when it was very much decided, you know, some sloppy play there. But overall, great concerted effort. Everybody was engaged at all times. And this is what you want from a Brad Stevens-led team. Everybody has to be ready at all times, man.
Cal Lee, Warren Shaw, this is the CLNS postgame show. The Boston Celtics defeating the Washington Wizards. Our friends over at TIQIQ just released a fantastic rewards-based mobile ticket buying app. Now, these guys have already got the cheapest tickets for all Boston sports in town. And now, with their mobile app, you can save up to 10% more on tickets to any live event. You can set price alerts to be notified when tickets are within your price range and becoming available, as well as see as all the top deals for games at the Garden. Gillette and On the Road, they aggregate all ticket sellers on one platform and have the most competitive prices out there. Head to the Apple's App Store to download the TIQIQ app and start saving today. That's TIQIQ. Use the promo code BOSTON for 10% off of your first purchase. You know, Shaw, when we look at this Celtics team right now, and I say tonight was overall about as good a night you can possibly have, and again, it's early, but a couple of caveats, and there's things that, again, we keep raising those levels of concerns. Tonight, 17 turnovers still, right? Didn't shoot the ball particularly well from the free throw line, even though the Washington Wizards didn't. That's our freaky stat of the night, by the way. 18 for 23 from free throw attempts by both teams. So, you know, I don't know what you make of that type of stuff, but, you know, again, I think that while Isaiah Thomas kind of led the way getting to the free throw line, with six attempts, you clearly want to see the Celtics, you know, really take advantage of their charity stripe opportunities. And again, the turnovers, while it wasn't a glaring difference because of the way that they bludgeoned the Washington Wizards on their runs, it's part of the reason why the Washington Wizards made their run and cut that lead down to 15. And ultimately, while they forced 24 turnovers against the Washington Wizards, 17 turnovers is still high for a Celtics team that clearly, if they're trying to compete against the better teams in the Eastern Conference, that number has to go down.
Yeah, it does. And there's I mean, a small caveat to that, because, again, they are running up and down the court and playing with a much faster pace. Obviously, that's not an excuse to be careless with the basketball. But, you know, just there's more possessions, so there's more times to turn it over. But, yeah, that's something that they definitely have to get under control. You don't want to see anybody turning the ball over that many times a game. And that was something that the Celtics were really good at last year, one of the best in the league in terms of not turning the ball over. And it has been an early problem for them this season. So you're 100% correct. One way or another, have to be more efficient no matter what the pace is and how many possessions they're getting per game. Need to cut those turnovers down. And, again, I really do feel like they were decisive tonight and made more or less some good passes, but they definitely took some chances. And, you know, I'd have to go back kind of through the play-by-play to see when a lot of those turnovers took place. But it was, you know, with them being aggressive in terms of their decision-making, you know, trying to hit guys on cuts. There was a couple, maybe two or three passes, I think, where you know, one of those, I thought you were going to zig when you zagged instead of seeing, I think it was Kelly Olynyk, tried to hit Avery Bradley on a backdoor cut, you know, when Bradley stopped, or it might have been Crowder. Those type of things happen throughout the game, especially early on the season. A couple of new pieces that are still fitting into this roster as well. But I feel like, you know, this is a team that they'll get it under control, because Stevens is a guy who likes precision, and he's not going to allow for these turnovers to continue all season long.
And one thing I want to add to the caveat, Shaw, because you did put emphasis on this, and I think it's an excellent point. When this Celtics team is decisive, they're a better basketball team. And so to caveat that part of what I mean by cutting down the turnovers, the one thing I will give credit to the Celtics to tonight in their performance is while they turned that ball over, they did not harp on it, they didn't dwell on it, they didn't let it sink in, and then allow it to suffer over the course of the next three plays in which they needed to execute. And like you said, decisive in what they were doing. So if they committed to it, if it happened, it happened. And if it doesn't, they shake it off and they make it up for it on the defensive end, or come the next offensive set, they're going to go back and execute that pass, and they're going to make sure that they're going to stay on that mindset of being precise and decisive about it with little hesitance. And we've seen this with young basketball teams that while we can talk about that right now with teams like the Milwaukee Bucks, teams like the Detroit Pistons, teams like the Minnesota Timberwolves, you can clearly see it in their eyes because it's the moment, it's pro basketball. You want to be perfect in what you do. You see the play, you think the play should execute, and something goes wrong. And in this game, and we see it with the Celtics at times, they have young players that believe that everything that they're doing is right, and when it doesn't go right, it seems to carry over the next two, three, four plays. And a team like the San Antonio Spurs, a team like maybe even a good Washington Wizards team on a better night, would take advantage of things like that and force the Celtics to keep thinking and be hesitant about making those decisions.
Yeah, and it's a maturation process. You know, Celtics are still a pretty young team in general. But when you make mistakes, veteran teams, title contending teams will eat you alive. And like you said, they'll wait for you to make those mistakes and then make their run. And you see that in today's game. And even in that Spurs game, there were times where Boston was sloppy with the basketball. But then they were able to come back and be competitive when they were smart. And just did the right things. But, you know, those turnovers ultimately contributed to that loss against the San Antonio Spurs, you know, in a home game. And like I said, I agree with your point 100%. They just have to know and understand that they can be fast with the ball, but they can be decisive with the ball, but it's still about being smart and just getting some of the timing down for some of the plays out there running, especially from the offensive side of things. I really think this team has a lot of potential. Not to get too much into predictions and all that, but I think there was some unreasonable expectation as to what this roster was going to be able to do to begin, if I read some of these polls and articles correctly. But overall, this is a very good roster that has a little bit of improvement from last year, but that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, they're going to be all of a sudden a top four or five team in the Eastern Conference, but still very good overall, and they're still growing, and they still just need a reliable score and to stop turning the ball over, as you said.
Boston Celtics tonight also dominant in the paint over the Washington Wizards, 48 points in the paint to the Washington Wizards, 42. Didn't move too much on the fast break points, not too many open transition baskets, but again, credit to the Celtics. They got fast break points, and they took advantage of very sloppy play by the Washington Wizards as they pound them 118-98 on the in TD Garden. Celtics go to 2-3. They're 2-2 at home, and so you know, at least again, making sure that they hold down home court, which again I think is key. Because we're still kind of up in the air about the Boston Celtics and their ability to play on the road. So it's so important that they are competitive on their home court. They suffered a really tough loss to the San Antonio Spurs. And so to come back here and to take on a Washington Wizards team, by all accounts, that, you know, again, they're going to be one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference just simply because they're just that good of a basketball team. And I think Randy Whitman is going to right the ship for some of these guys. To get a win like this and to get it early, it pays dividends. This is not a team that's in our division, but it is a team that's in our conference. And we need to be sure that when we play teams like this, Shaw, if we're going to be in that playoff picture somewhere down the road, that we can lean on the idea that we had a plan and we executed it to perfection against a team that's as good as the Washington Wizards.
Yeah, you absolutely want to stack as many quality wins as you possibly can to build that confidence and to propel you throughout the entire NBA season. And then when times are rough, you can kind of go back and say, well, what did we do right? You know, we beat a team like Washington at home. What did we do right in that game? And let's try to get back to that. So I think this is something that you definitely, you know, kind of put as a feather in your cap. You know, you don't necessarily live on it per se, but you can refer back to it at different points throughout the season. Probably definitely the most impressive win of the two wins that they've had this season. But they've been in every game. You know, and in the Toronto game, they let things slip away from them late. San Antonio, same thing. They were down pretty much early, and then they came back and, you know, weren't able to close it out. But obviously, they were into the Indiana game as well. But this is a team that, they have a lot of potential, a lot of room to grow, and this is a nice for them to cap getting a quality win against a quality opponent in the Washington Wizards, who we all think are going to be in the thick of the playoff hunt. And again, as you said at the outset, in the top four or five teams, you know, the Wizards should definitely be that. So you beat one of these teams here and defend your home court. Great win for them, and hopefully they can build on it in the next one.
Definitely, man. In a few moments, we're going to talk about the Celtics' next game, coming up, and we'll probably even go around the horn for, you know, just a minute or so, you know, kind of throw our feather in the hat with regards to some of the games that are being played in tonight's contest. But let's just keep in mind something about here at CLNS, celebrating 5 million listeners and podcasting about Boston sports since 2009. And that is just a phenomenal feat. For over 7 years, CLNS Radio has been offering free exclusive content to your favorite sports teams. And in 2015-2016, CLNS Radio is celebrating the anticipation of over 5 million listeners. And that is impressive. So kudos to the guys that have been paving the way, podcasting, reporting, and giving you the take on the Celtics, the Red Sox, the Patriots, and the Bruins, and NASCAR, and every conceivable sport that you as a fan, as a listener, have been able to absorb and to take in. And kudos to you, the listeners, because without you calling in and without you supporting CLNS Radio, this would not be running 7 years strong for a network that is just absolutely head above shoulders, one of the best in independent podcasting and in sports broadcasting that's out there. So we want to make sure that you, the listeners, appreciate that CLNS works hard in doing what they do. And then also, we want to make sure that we're giving you the coverage you need discussing Boston sports. So be sure to go to www.clnsradio.com/patrons. We want you to support CLNS Radio, support the staffers, the volunteer writers, the podcast hosts, and continue to show that support, show that love. It's great because it builds that community. That's what we want. We want listeners to feel good about what they contribute to, and we want to make sure that you feel good about the sports that you're listening to. So be sure to go to www.clnsradio.com/patrons and give a donation. It's small amount, large amount, it doesn't matter. It's all for the love of the game. Shaw, let's go ahead and focus our attention to the Celtics team now. And, you know, their next contest is going to be against the Milwaukee Bucks, right? I'm sorry. Yes, it's going to be against the Milwaukee Bucks. In Milwaukee, we just saw that the Milwaukee Bucks eked out a victory here at MSG against the New York Knicks. this is not a team to be taken lightly. It's interesting because, the caller we had a little bit earlier, he doesn't seem to have been too impressed with the Milwaukee Bucks team thus far. We've been talking about how dangerous this team can be. And I don't care what their record is going to reflect or represent. They are going to be a very tough matchup for this Celtics team because by all accounts, this team is going to force the Celtics to have to shoot about as good as they shot tonight against the Washington Wizards.
Well, Milwaukee is one of the longer teams in the league, man. They can get it done on both ends. Obviously, they're not great from the perimeter in terms of scoring, but they penetrate, they put pressure on your defense. We don't know if Michael Carter-Williams will be back for that game. He had a little ankle injury, so they are down a man, but they just got Jabari Parker back. He's playing limited minutes, but a huge plus for them too. Obviously, Jabari, being a high draft pick, but they also got John Henson back. And that's really going to help their interior defense, backing up Greg Monroe as well. So Monroe has also been a guy who's usually just typically torched the Boston Celtics and from his days on the Detroit Pistons. So it's going to be a very, very tough game for Boston. Definitely can't take that lightly. Can't take anybody lightly in the NBA. But this Milwaukee Bucks team, as you said, very, very long. They can switch pretty much anything. Put 6-10 guys out there pretty much across the board if they needed to and really defend the basketball and cause some problems for the Celtics if they're not careful. Because one thing that I still see with the Celtics having some issues at times is dealing with teams' athleticism, especially in the front court position. So if guys like Henson come out there or Monroe come out there and try to body them, that might be some issues for the Celtics in this next game. But hopefully guys like Isaiah Thomas and J.J. Crowder and Evan Turner, those guys will be able to help carry the load a little bit, and then hopefully Olynyk will be able to stretch it forward a little bit as well to kind of keep some of the Milwaukee's bigs away from the basket.
How much emphasis, Shaw, are we really putting on, or how much attention to detail do we need to be putting on the Celtics' front court? Listen, tonight's performance against the Washington Wizards was an impressive performance. Make no doubt about that. But I think there could be a slight argument to be made that you look at this front court of the Milwaukee Bucks, they really can probably, and they essentially will probably do a whole lot more damage for their own team than the Washington Wizards would have with Nene and Marcin Gortat and company, okay? They got Otto Porter Jr. and everything, but I just look at this Milwaukee Bucks team, and I just think that they are going to be one of the more underappreciated front court combinations, and now having Jabari Parker back out there. I mean, the emphasis and the onus, we talk about how Jared Sullinger had a great game tonight. Now we look at this, can Jared Sullinger translate this against that kind of front court defense that he's going to be facing?
Yeah, that's going to be tough for him. Again, he's more physical, obviously just by his girth and heaviness, than a Henson or whatever. But Henson's got that length, man. And then Jabari Parker got probably the athleticism and quickness move on that. So they're going to have to figure out what's the best way to play against this Milwaukee Bucks team, as the Bucks rotation is still a little bit in flux too. Again, Parker has only been back two games. John Henson came back tonight, but Henson played great in his return, scoring 22 points, and his role really isn't as a defender. It really is as a shot blocker. He had three blocks tonight, versus Knicks. So I'm very concerned about the Celtics front court and how they're going to match up with this Bucks front court, because it's going to be difficult. They're very skilled. Very talented. Greg Monroe, like I said, is a great passer, especially from the post, but he's traditionally torched Boston, giving them the business on the block. They're going to have to definitely bring their A game, as always, to beat a Milwaukee Bucks team that's going to be very game, especially on their home floor.
Shaw, you brought up so many great points. I don't know where I want to begin. Let me go back to my thought process about Jared Sullinger and what I saw tonight in reference to what I'm fearful of what may happen when he plays against the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, look, the good players in the game, they make adjustments. And if you have a good inside-outside or outside-inside game, you kind of cater to applying the pressure on what you want that your defender or whoever you're playing against. You want to kind of strategize for that, okay? We've seen where Jared Sullinger, where at times that we felt like his business should be making business down in the paint, and he opts to hang out by the perimeter or shoot up the three. Tonight, very impressive shooting the three. 3-for-4, okay? However, on a night like, okay, I'm not going to be playing against guys that are probably going to give me that shot, where I'm playing against guys whose length is going to front, it's going to kind of force me to want to play down in the blocks. Can you foresee Jared Sullinger staying within himself and establishing a presence in the paint early so that he can establish his outside game? Or are we going to be seeing the same thing that we've seen in previous games from last season with Jared Sullinger, where he gets trigger happy shooting the basketball and doesn't make his living down in the paint?
Well, I think the key for him and the smart thing for him to do in the next game, especially as a starting power forward, is if Milwaukee starts Parker at the four, then you have to take Parker on the block and try to score down low. I mean, that's just what you have to do. You have the overall size advantage, and you should be able to get your shot up over him and or necessarily even through him if you need to. I think the issue that he'll have and where he'll be tempted to float out to the perimeter is when Henson's out there and if Henson's playing the four position instead of the five and guarding Sullinger there. But I think early on, Sullinger needs to be aggressive, be that bully, be that bulldog down low, and look for some easy baskets. You know, I think Gorman and Tommy Heinsohn, they say the best. You know, he's best when he's at, you know, in that 4 to 10 foot range, if you will, making the quick turnarounds and hooks and layups down low. He really can be an effective post presence for the Celtics roster. And versus the Milwaukee Bucks, it would behoove him to definitely establish himself against Jabari Parker in the post early, and then maybe he can venture out to the perimeter a little bit if some of the longer guys are out there guarding him.
All right. This segment is brought to you by the CLNS Mobile Podcast app. Be sure to download the official CLNS Radio Boston Sports Podcast. The app is here, available on Android or iPhone. Don't forget to download it. Get all of your favorite sports broadcasts, the post-game show. You know, it's just the list goes on and on. Great stuff all around. To get all of your Boston sports on one app, on one application. You download the app, click on your show, and you are now locked in and listening to some of your favorite personalities doing their thing. I think we got our man Jared, who's going to be on board to kind of give us a pulse and a feel about what's happened with tonight's victory. Jared, is that you?
That's me. What's up, boys?
Hey, man. What's going on? I thought that you were popping bottles with the Celtics this evening because we didn't know what time you were going to roll up and give us the feel of the pulse about tonight's impressive victory against the Washington Wizards.
Yeah, my bad. My producer had to catch a bus down in New York, so I'm doing double jobs tonight. So very busy night at the Garden. I finished my champagne already, so the team is now drunk, so I can do this talk with you guys. That was pretty nice to watch, right? I mean, the Indiana game was good. That was the first home game of enjoyable Boston Celtics basketball so far this season.
Jared Weiss joining us here from the Garden Report. Jared, man. This is the Celtics team that we've been waiting to see kind of really get off the offensive schneid, so to speak. And you look at the statistics, I mean, everything just looked like a team that was built to run against a surprisingly good defensive Washington Wizards team. And really, from that latter half of the first quarter, it was on and popping. And what was the feel like for the guys in that locker room, you know, after seeing that they just dropped 118 against this Wizards team?
Oh, they were in a pretty good mood. You know, Isaiah Thomas was asked how reassuring it was to finally have like an actual great offensive night. And he said that they really needed it, that honestly he thought that they just needed the shots to fall, and that they've been getting good shots all year long, but they just haven't felt. So that was really huge for everyone's confidence. And the Celtics actually came into this game as the worst team in the league in hitting open three-pointers. They were actually they were at the bottom of the league. So, and they're getting a ton of open looks. They missed pretty much everything. And tonight was that first night where they actually went down. You know, sometimes there's not like much analysis to be done. It's really just that they got the shots. I mean, they shot 40% from three. They took 97 shots tonight. And I asked Jared Sullinger after the game, does it improve execution if you're taking more shots? And he said that with them, it's all about getting the higher they keep the pace, the more likely they're going to get open opportunities. And that's what a lot of teams are basically finding now, that if you keep the tempo high, you're going to get more weak side three-point shooters open. And that's kind of a really crucial part of the Celtics offensive game plan, is that the more that they're running hard, the more motion they have, the more screens they have, the more likely they're going to get a three-point shooter rotating onto that weak side elbow, and he's going to be wide open with no one near him. And whether it's Jared Solinger, Avery Bradley, Evan Turner, Kelly Olynyk, whoever it is, when the shots are actually falling, those looks are there all the time. So it's just really a matter of, are they getting lucky or are they catching it? And tonight was just one of those nights where it was perfect.
Yeah, I absolutely have to agree with you. One of the things we were talking about earlier on the show is that the pace, you know, they came in sixth, I think, in the league in pace, and they really ran the ball up and down the court tonight. And like you said, I kept saying in the sense that they were very decisive with the basketball, snapping the ball around and whipping it around so that they could get some open looks. And I saw that you just tweeted something about, you know, one of the heart and soul guys of this team in Jay Crowder. What's the status with his injury right now? You know, because he had a great game tonight, 12-10-5, you know, with five steals. Key the defensive, obviously, and is always one of those guys who gets those hockey assists in the Celtics offense. But what's the status on his injury right now?
Jay Crowder said that he's okay, and then 5 minutes ago, in all caps, tweeted, "Big win tonight, and yes, I'll be okay. Thanks for the support, Beantown. Hashtag Celtics Nation. Hashtag 99 problems." So there's your answer. Straight from the horse's mouth twice tonight.
Hopefully he wasn't shouting out Jay-Z on that one. Jared Weiss joining us here as we're the post-game show here for CLNS, Boston Celtics. Impressive victory tonight, 118-98. Jared, you know, one of the things that we talked about earlier tonight as well, too, was Brad Stevens, you know, he basically said he committed to the fact that he needed to limit the rotation of players and really just kind of stick with the guys, you know, to perform for this team, and we kind of saw that, you know, throughout. This was who he's going to go with, and maybe some guys that we thought were probably going to get some quality minutes in this game really didn't see themselves playing except in garbage time. You know, what was your impression of Brad Stevens' rotation of this team throughout the course of the game?
I mean, it was still a 10-man rotation, really. David Lee only played 12 minutes. It was really – I would say that it was Olynyk and Solinger that kind of played the brunt of the front court minutes. Jarebko got a lot of time out there today. Interestingly enough, Tyler Zeller barely played tonight. He got like 4 minutes of garbage time, and he actually had 7 points and 2 rebounds in like 4.5 minutes of garbage time. That was actually pretty impressive. Stevens is still trying to figure out – what his front court rotation is, and that's the biggest challenge he has, really. And I asked them about it after the game, and I asked them that they've been trying to kind of mix and match all these different combinations with new guys, with guys they've had already in the front court. Did having Olynyk and Solinger playing out there together, did the familiarity, was that beneficial for the team? And he said that with those guys, it wasn't, and of course he's going to say this, but it's not necessarily about the familiarity. That's not really what it is. It's just having them have effective spacing. That's what's so effective for this team. It's that they were both hitting their threes tonight. Let's see, Olynyk went 3-for-5 from deep. Solinger went 3-for-4. I mean, the fact that Celtics had two big men that shot a combined, 6-for-9 from the field tonight, that's incredible. Like, how many teams in the NBA have that? Like, maybe 5 at the most. It's pretty rare to have that kind of front court production. And that really freed up Isaiah Thomas's game. And Isaiah, I mean, a lot of it was in transition, but in the first half, he had a ton of points. And that was the main reason why they had that 40-point first quarter. Of course, Solinger hit some deep shots. But having Solinger and Olynyk playing well out there together really reminds you of the team that they were at least trying to build last year, where it's this team where you have two guys that can stretch the floor, where you're kind of playing that Golden State style where you really have all five guys playing behind the three-point line, and they're just kind of making cuts. You got guys that can get rebounds. And that's a team, I think, a Solinger and Olynyk starting lineup, if they can really do that or just at least have that as a closing unit, that's a team that's going to look a lot like how the type of ball that the Warriors are playing late in last season.
Pretty good stuff there, my man. And we're trying to figure out, you know, we've talked a lot about the rotations. We've talked a lot about the everyone's contribution tonight. So, but before we move on and let you get out of here, you know, what was something that you think they definitely need to improve on? One of the things we obviously saw is that they still had, you know, a fair amount of turnovers in terms of 17, and that's been a problem for the season thus far. What is something that you didn't like from this performance this evening?
I mean, that'd be it. That was really the only down note. You know, the thing is, a lot of the time you look at these high-paced games and the team will have 17 turnovers, The thing is, they had, I mean, I haven't calculated how many possessions they had tonight, but they took 97 shots, and they went to the line 23 times, and they had 15 offensive rebounds. So they had, like, a ton of possessions in this game. So you have to kind of compare 17 turnovers per possession, and 17, I would say, is not as bad as really, I mean, it would probably be the same as, like, getting 12 turnovers in a regular game, which I think usually is considered kind of middle of the road. And then you compare it to the other team, and Washington at 24. John Wall, who is, I think everyone would agree, is one of the probably 5 to 7 best point guards in the NBA right now, he had 8 turnovers tonight. He had a 1-to-1 even assist-to-turnover ratio, while Isaiah Thomas had an 8-to-3 assist-to-turnover ratio. So I think the turnover numbers get inflated a little bit by the high pace. And if you look at the turnovers per possession, I would bet that it probably wasn't any higher than another average game. So that's, I guess, the one bad thing that happened tonight. But really, it was just a great game overall. And the fact that they had a massive lead and they only relented by about, 3 points, I think, in the second half, that was pretty huge. So the fact that they could actually hold that lead, is that's a sign of a team that's ready for the playoff run.
Jared Weiss joining us here. Jared, we were talking about it earlier, a couple of firsts here. Kelly Oubre scoring his first points for the Washington Wizards, and our guy, Terry Rozier, scoring his first pro points. What was the feeling like out there at the TD Garden for our man Terry Rozier dropping the bucket and finally etching himself in the name of NBA pro basketball?
Well, he went 2 for 8, so I don't think he was really happy with the way it went, really. I mean, I'm pretty sure he would have preferred to go 3 for 4 than 2 for 8 tonight. And R.J. Hunter went 0 for 3. He barely even played in tonight's game. I'd say matchup-wise, it obviously made sense. And actually, by the way, while I'm just looking at the box score here, the Wizards went 12 deep tonight with significant minutes. Juwan Blair is the only guy on the roster that played and got less than 10 minutes tonight, so that was pretty fascinating. But it's great to see Rozier hitting the shot. I mean, he got his 3. They need 3-point shooting, and Evan Turner, while he's a reliable player, according to Brad Stevens, he's not a very consistent 3-point shooter. Jay Crowder missed all of his 3-point attempts tonight. So right now they're really relying on Isaiah Thomas and Avery Bradley to provide 3-point shooting from the guard spot, and they need that from Rozier and Hunter. And Hunter showed tonight, he didn't make his shots, but he's showing that he really knows how to, or he's really learning, I should say, how to play as an off-ball shooting guard. That's something that he's going to have to adjust more to now that he's not really he's not a primary ball handler anymore. But you just see that the way he has a little hop to set up to square up his body for his 3-point shot, he's learning how to kind of curl out of the corner, curl towards the corner, all that kind of stuff. He still is really far away from really knowing how to do it correctly and being like a Klay Thompson, who I think is the guy that everybody hopes he could become. But Hunter is showing the potential to be that kind of off-ball spot-up shooter on this team, and I'm really looking for him and Rozier to fill a similar role, but get more minutes and more play as we get closer to, like, the winter.
Jared, final question for you. Celtics taking on the Bucks, tough matchup out there at the Bradley Center. This team just fresh off of a win tonight against the New York Knicks. What are we hearing about Marcus Smart's status, and, you know, what's it going to take for this team to outplay the lengthiness of this Bucks team? Come next game.
We're hearing nothing on Smart after the game. I ran into him after the game, and he was still in his walking boot. So I can't imagine he's going to be playing in that game. But there's still some time until that game, so it's possible. But I do think that we shouldn't react quite as strongly to guys in walking boots anymore as we used to, because I think the team training staffs have identified that putting in a guy in a protective boot, even if it's for a day-to-day type injury, actually goes a long way to increasing his, to like making him heal more quickly and making sure that he actually heals when he's ready to play. So, you know, we see a lot of times guys, especially football players, will be in walking boots or on crutches after games, and they're still good. They're like back at practice on Thursday. So I wouldn't take the fact that he's still in a boot as a sign that it's either a more significant injury than a toe sprain. I mean, it could be turf toe, which is more significant, and that usually keeps guys out for a few weeks, even more than a month. But it doesn't seem like that is that kind of injury. So I think with him, because they at least say publicly that they don't know what caused the injury, I think they're just trying to be as cautious as possible. And just really just, I mean, if you're on your on your feet, it's like he's walking on it. So put him in a boot so that he at least, the toe can be isolated and it can't be taking pressure, and he reduces the risk of aggravating it and allows it to actually heal. Because, like, you know, if you hurt your arm, you put in a sling and you don't use it anymore. But with their feet, it's, like, impossible to do that. So that's why he's in the boot, and I don't expect him to be out long-term, but who knows, he might not be ready for the game on Tuesday.
He is the man. His name, Jared Weiss, a.k.a. Mr. October, Mr. Bar Mitzvah. Our man Jared Weiss covering the Celtics for CLNS Radio and Celtics Blog. Host of the Garden Report. Be sure to go to www.youtube.com/CLNS Radio. Check out the Garden Report, our man Jared Weiss, covering the Celtics with an impressive victory. Jared, man, thanks for jumping on with us. And listen, next time, man, don't be popping the bubbly without us, man. You got to make sure that you let us know so we can hop in there and party it up with you.
I saved you a bottle, man. I'll see you tomorrow. Just tomorrow's my bar mitzvah. We'll see you then. We'll be popping champagne.
Thanks again, Jared.
All right, peace out, boys.
All right, our man Jared Weiss, man. Always great to have him on. Really keeping his finger on the pulse of things happening in there in the Celtics locker room. And wouldn't you not want that, Shaw? Wouldn't you not want to have somebody in there getting a feel for what the players were feeling out there with the kind of performance they put on tonight?
Well, I mean, that's why CLNS is so great, and it's great to be on this post-game show. You know, Jared does an amazing job, you know, with that and the post-game report and, you know, his, on the YouTube channel and everything that he does for this channel and this network. And it's just a key class professional guy. Always great to talk with him. Has a just keen insight and has his real, as you say, his pulse, you know, his finger on the pulse of this team and what they need and what they need to do. Even some of his, you know, observations with some of the rookies and Rozier and Hunter. Just great, great info for our fans and listeners out there here on CLNS Radio. So I'm happy that we got to chat with him, as always, on these home games, man. But definitely was a great game for the Boston Celtics. Really not too much to complain about. We definitely are nitpicking. He's 100% right. You know, with the turnovers, a lot of that is created by pace. You know, I think I said that earlier on as well. But hopefully, you know, these guys will be ready to play on Tuesday versus the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, man, it's gonna be definitely a great, great, great contest. I mean, you're talking about two teams to kind of slow out the gate with high expectations to really improve upon what they did last season, and I think it's a really great matchup. It's not gonna be, you know, it's one of those spotlights on, you know, TNT or be on ESPN probably, but I do think that this is gonna be one of those games where, you know, we're going to be talking about how good some of these guys are, you know, and playing against teams that I think are adverse to, you know, what their skill set can be. It's a great matchup when you're looking at the X's and O's of how a team plays, not just defensively but offensively, and forcing the other team to improve upon the one thing that they're probably lacking. And I think that what's going to set the tone or probably set out for which team wins that game. Hopefully it will be the Boston Celtics on the winning end of this. We've seen the Milwaukee Bucks not look impressive at home, but we've also seen them, you know, show resilience and not play their best basketball and still wind up winning the basketball game. This has been an awesome post-game show, Shaw. You know, I don't get it why, you know what I'm saying, they don't have us doing this, you know, often all the time. You know how we roll. You know, we just got that thing going. You know what I'm saying? We got that magic working. And clearly it was great to have it work on a night where the Boston Celtics had as big as a 30-point lead against this Washington Wizards team and still wind up winning by 20, an impressive victory tonight by the Celtics.
Absolutely was, man. As always, it was a pleasure to jump on and, you know, discuss basketball with you, especially when we get to talk Celtics basketball here on CLNS Radio. Kudos to the guys for, you know, letting us come back and host this post-game show. We'll be back throughout the season. Hope you enjoyed it. But definitely check out our Baseline podcast. Hit us up on Twitter at @NBA_baseline. Our show drops weekly, talking overall and watching NBA news, not just Celtics, but everything that's going on around the league, man. But it's been a great night, and as always, a pleasure to ride out with you, my man.
Well, most definitely, man. We'd like to thank our co-creator, our man Nick Gelso, doing his thing. You may not see him or hear from him often, but he is out in the background grinding, making this CNL machine continue to run smoothly. Sean Backey and those boys continue to do it. And the CLNS, man, continuing to do bigger and better things. And this post-game show will always be there covering everything that's happening with the Boston Celtics. Once again, this has been powered by Harry's Razors. Be sure to go to Harry's Razors and claim your free trial. Also by FanDuel. Hey, they're doing their thing. One game fantasy. I know that there's a couple of other fantasy gamers out there, but no one does it better than FanDuel. So be sure to take advantage of the free trial. Use the promo code Celtics and let them know that CLNS sent you over, and go get yourself some of that fantasy money out there. Over $75 million, I think you probably want a slice of that. I know if the Boston Celtics weren't busy whooping up on the Washington Wizards tonight, that a couple of those guys would be doing the same thing as well. Once again, the Boston Celtics, impressive victory at the TD Garden, 118-98 over the Washington Wizards. The Celtics step up and play against the Milwaukee Bucks on Tuesday, November the 10th. Be sure to check out CLNS Radio as we will give you post-game coverage and give you insight and analysis once that game ends, hopefully with the Celtics on the winning note and continuing an impressive win streak that we're hoping will take place. So for CLNS, Cal Lee, Warren Shaw of the Baseline NBA Podcast, we appreciate everyone tuning in. Be sure to get your podcast ready for Tuesday night when the Celtics take on the Milwaukee Bucks. Until then, you guys have a great, great weekend.
This is CLNS Radio, the home of Internet Sports Talk Radio.